Mickey Civico, Phil Hendry.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, the El Pacifico. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch. We're here for the duration. What does that mean? I don't know. Well, we're here. We're here until the end of time. Welcome back to the program. And this is our news and information hour. So Bud and Robert will be commenting with me on a variety of topics. Most of it real stupid, but we do our best. All us cows do our best for Jersey Made, which I know you guys don't remember that, do you?
Uh-oh. What is that?
That was an old commercial, man. All us cows do our best for Jersey Made. I'm at that point in my life now where I'm going to be making cultural references that, you know, are already, I've already been making old ones, but now they're going to be completely gone. You know, you won't get any. I'm like Jim Murray and the final, well, never mind.
Who's he?
Well, there you go. Although, again, I want to mention being on Jimmy Pardo's great podcast, Never Not Funny. Yeah, thank you. Which means I'm never not funny, I guess. But, no, Jimmy was great, and the crew was great, and everything was great, and his show is, his podcast is a killer, man, and it's one of the top downloaded podcasts of all time. He gets a lot of downloads.
Well, is he like in the top, what do you mean?
He gets a lot of downloads, is all I know. He's got a lot of subscribers, so he rocks the world, man, with what he got. Speaking of podcasts, we do have the free Phil Hendry podcast, which you're welcome to download. It's available at our website. Go to philhendryshow.com and check out the free Phil Hendry podcast banner. You'll see it says, here's our new podcast, and just go to that. All right. I got out the New York Times front page because I was going to see what there was to see. I thought I'd go to 1984. As you know, every night we take a look at the front page of the New York Times sometime around this date. And it is the 31st. Is that our date today, the 31st? It is now the 31st, which makes tomorrow the 1st, which doesn't mean anything really other than that isn't that interesting.
Well, not really.
Well, it is sort of, because I thought I'd go back to 1984 because there was a lot of stuff happening. It was an Olympic year, same as this one is. And here we go. 31st of July. And there was not only an Olympics going on, there was a presidential series of presidential, the two presidential conventions, and it's the same thing is happening now. So we're talking 28 years ago. And 28 years ago, it was, in point of fact, the, as I say, the Olympics and a political season with the convention. So on the 31st, and let me just, there it is right there. You see it on our homepage. And I'll try to get this so you can see the entire homepage. On the 31st, the El Salvador was in the news. The EPA was in the news offering tighter curbs on gasoline, on leaded gasoline. And look at, here it is. U.S. swimmers win two more gold. The United States' success in the games of the 23rd Olympiad continued today. This is 1984. Today, with two more gold medals in swimming and one in
aborting.
What do you mean aborting?
Where'd you see that, man? That's what it looks like.
Shooting, you idiot.
Well, I didn't think it was an Olympic event.
Yeah. No, it's not Olympic aborting. Shooting. In swimming, Mary Waite of Mercer Island, Washington, won the women's 200-meter freestyle, and the men's 800-meter freestyle relay team captured a spectacular final from West Germany by 0.04 of a second, no more than 3 inches. World records were broken in the three men's finals. Woo! Michael Gross, the 6'7", I remember that guy.
Who's he?
He's 6'7". I remember this guy. He was a West German back when there was still a Western and Eastern Germany.
They did call it East Germany, though. I didn't say Eastern Germany.
Yeah. Oh, okay. Thanks a lot, bud. It was East Germany, folks, not Eastern Germany. You're right.
It's not Southern Carolina.
No, I know that, man. Don't worry about it. I got it covered, okay?
That is Southern California. Yeah, it is Southern California. That's not a state, though, yet.
Yeah. Okay, great.
Well, just because you didn't think about it.
I thought about it. I didn't think I had to point it out. I didn't think I had to point. You're right. South Carolina, East Germany, Southern California. It's not a state yet. I guess if they make Southern California a state, we'll be South California.
But I don't think so. People get it mixed up with South Carolina.
Hardly. In any event, Michael Gross, the 6'7" West German superstar, continued His heroics on Sunday night when Olympic competition began, he won the 200-meter freestyle in world record time. Tonight he won the 100-meter butterfly, a race he dislikes, by a foot from the favored Pablo Morales of Santa Clara, California. So Gross beat the American Pablo Morales. On a day, the United States stretched its leading medal total to 15, including 9 gold and 5 silvers. The 84 Olympics were interesting because the Russians were not in that Olympic game. And the Russians were not in that Olympic Games because we boycotted the 1980 Games in Moscow.
Why?
We boycotted the 1980 Games in Moscow because we were protesting I've got to take that hat off, man. I'm burning up. We were protesting the Russian invasion of Afghanistan. All right. So the Russians got us back. And I don't know why Carter didn't think of this. Because when we boycotted the Russian games, all of a sudden everybody went, wait a second, you know what's happening in 4 years? What, we have the Olympics in 4 years, so goodbye Russia, you know. And the excuse the Russians gave...
We didn't invade no country.
Well, the excuse they gave was that they couldn't be sure of security. You got to understand something. In 1984, and I am not... I don't think it was a good excuse. And I'm not saying anything other than that we had a crime situation in Los Angeles in the early 80s that was not good. We had gang warfare was about to peak in this city. It wouldn't be too much later than 1984 that the movie Colors came out, which was basically a movie about the gang rivalry in Los Angeles and about two police officers dealing with it. It was kind of a tabloidy film. But it was a movie that was the first movie at that time that dealt with the gang problem. There was a lot of gang activity. There were a lot of gang murders. They inflated the murder totals. And when I say inflated, they are murders. But they're not the kinds of murders that you think of when you're thinking of, you know, is the public at large necessarily in danger? Although, these gangbangers were so stupid and such bad shots that, as you well know, a great many innocent bystanders were hurt. Just like the gangs in the 30s and the 20s. But the point I'm making here is that gang activity along that corridor, because when you go down the Harbor Freeway and you're on your way to the Coliseum or to the sports arena, whatever it may be, you are going through South Central Los Angeles, which at the time was notorious for gang activity. The Russians said, we can't be sure of the safety of our athletes. We don't think you guys can guarantee the safety of our athletes or even close. We're not about to take that chance. We are boycotting. So it was an attempt to give us a little bit of a black eye. I don't think anybody bought it. What everybody to a person believed, even the Chinese showed up.
Yeah, the Chinese are commie too.
The Chinese are commie, too, yeah. This is back when Russia was commie. They ain't commie no more. Anyway, the Chinese showed up, and I think the Chinese showed up knowing this is going to be beautiful. I think we got a real shot here to take down some serious medals because the Russians won't be there, and the Americans were competitive with. I think the Chinese wound up winning. They did good. They didn't do as good as probably they thought they would. I think they thought they were going to stomp our ass, and they did not. We kicked their ass, but they were very good at swimming. I believe their high dive team was outstanding. Their gymnastics team, as always, was great.
You said you good viewers in China. You seen little kids.
Oh, yeah, yeah. When I went to China, I was in China, in fact, in 82. I was in China like 2 years before the Olympics. And I remember seeing one of their gymnastics classes. We were someplace, I don't know what the hell, and they took us to this place where there were kids, little kids, man. I'm talking about 5 and 6 year old little girls and little boys. And man, they're all you saw are these little tiny kids just flying through the air, you know?
A lot of little kid doing flips and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, they were. They were little tiny 6 year old kids just woo, flying and flipping and twirling and all. Just the air was filled with little kids, you know?
What do you mean?
Doing gymnastics. What do you think I mean?
Well, it sounds kind of weird.
Yeah, it sounds weird. It looked weird. As soon as I walked through the door, I'm just seeing little kids. Woo, 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 woo. Those are the Chinese, man. They banned that gymnastics.
Yeah, I think the Chinese people are more, they got flexibility and stuff.
Let's not go down that road. Do you mind? Do you mind terribly?
Well.
No, not well. Every time we talk about somebody, well, they must be good swimmers. Oh, they must really be bad. They used to see the Japanese were bad at flying because they didn't have any, because their peripheral vision was crappy because of their slanted eyes. All kinds of stupid stuff.
Yeah, well, about black people can't swim.
Yeah, they can. Hey, I'm going to kick his ass. Hey, bud, I hate to break the news to you, man. It's like 2012, and there's a couple of black members of our swim team in the Olympics, so.
I didn't say I believed it.
Yeah. Anyway, all that stuff. You know, there are reasons people are good at things that have nothing to do with race. Do you understand? There are cultural traditions. There are ways that people are raised. There are economic barriers that force people into other activities. This is why people, certain peoples become, or certain nationalities or certain countries become good at certain sports. You know, we talk about this whole idea that black people are not good swimmers because of something genetic. It's got nothing to do with that. It has to do with the fact that in the black community, swimming was considered for a long time, not all over the black, some areas, swimming was considered to be a sport as opposed to a survival technique. There were also not as many pools in some parts of the city. And the same thing holds for sports in general. I'm not going to go through the same speech. You guys have heard it.
Okay, so how come the Chinese are in the gymnastics?
Well, one of the things is it's not an expensive sport, man. Look at what the Chinese are good at. Basketball. They're good at gymnastics.
They don't play football.
Football's an expensive sport. I mean, I don't know where we get off thinking that American football is ever going to really catch on until countries can afford it. It's an expensive sport. It's a big squad. The equipment is all kinds of equipment. You've got two squads. You got basically a 45-man team. You need doctors, you need chiropractors, you need tape to wrap guys, you need all kinds of, you need trainers, you need, it's a really, you know, it's a typically American sport. It takes a whole lot of, there's a lot of overhead involved in football. Baseball is not too far behind, hockey, but basketball is an inexpensive sport. If you look at a country like China that was digging itself out of decades, if not centuries, of poverty on the part of most of the people over there, you know, they don't have all kinds of money to throw around on sports like that. Basketball is a cheap sport. All you need is a pair of shorts, a ball, and a goal, man. You know?
Yeah, you only, how many guys on a team?
What are there, 14, 13 guys?
13 guys.
So you got 13 guys on a team, a basketball, and a hoop. Big deal. Same thing with gymnastics. What do you need, man, to get a little kid to go flipping around on a mat? You need a mat, maybe some rings, some powder. Boom. So when you're looking at countries that want to impress, especially in the Olympics, and they don't have all the money, or maybe they just don't want to, they haven't traditionally, you know.
Yeah, the Chinese, man, they got all kinds of money now.
The Chinese now have money. But the Chinese, we got to take a break, man, okay? I'm just saying, traditionally, the Chinese didn't have the kind of money, so they got good at gymnastics. We'll be right back here. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. In our news and information hour. Look at that.
Truth,
I'm late, man.
Is our bitch.
There's
the Phil Henry
though.
Show.
Thanks, Missouri. You're welcome.
This is the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7445. Lots of stuff going on in the news as of, like, today. And maybe we should be covering some of that other than the Olympic news. One of the challenges to same-sex marriage, I don't know, man. You know.
Yeah, you got to report on it, man.
Yeah, I know you got to report on it, but the conversation is getting just either you get it or you don't. I mean, and that argument goes both ways. You know, in other words, people that are opposed to same-sex marriage, they're probably thinking the same thing. Either you understand or you don't. And the people that are in support of same-sex marriage, myself being one of them, we think the same thing. Either you're going to get it or you don't. Either you understand or you don't. So I just don't know, although I can tell you this. In just the last, I don't know, in just the last 10 years, man, since the first time, like, the state of California voted on this, and it was overwhelmingly, I forget what it was, a defense of marriage, it was some kind of a referendum, and California went overwhelmingly in favor of heterosexual marriage and against gay marriage, and it's come almost 180 degrees the opposite direction in the last 10 years, that the voter sentiments and attitudes have changed in this state. And I've seen that happen across the board. So, you know, somebody messaged me on Twitter and said, how come you're always talking about gay marriage? Nobody cares. And I like, how do you talk to an idiot like this? Yes, people do care, man. They may not care where you live, but they do care. Now, when you say nobody cares, are you telling me it's because you don't favor it? Or you just, you do, but we shouldn't talk? What are you talking about? And I finally came to the conclusion, that's a guy that's opposed to it and is sick of hearing about it. Well, I understand your pain, sir, because I'm in favor of it, and I'm sick of hearing about heterosexual marriage and marriages for straight people. Anyway, First Ward Alderman Proco Joe Marino's attempt to keep a fast food chain out of his Northwest Side ward because its company's boss opposes gay marriage is so patently unconstitutional that it hardly merits discussion. This, according to Dennis Byrne, writing in the Chicago Tribune. But ignoring this stunning assault on two First Amendment rights gives it undeserved credence. By trying to block a Chick-fil-A restaurant from locating in his ward because of company president Dan Cathy's biblical view against same-sex marriage, Marino is subjecting the chain to an unconstitutional government test of religion. Marino also would use the power of government to shut down Cathy's free speech rights, punishing him economically for speaking his mind. Because his efforts to blackball Chick-fil-A have no legal basis, Marino eventually might have to find an alternative but equally specious excuse to please narrow-minded constituents who think that government's business is to bushwhack selected Americans. But any attempt to justify the action by zoning, traffic, or the diversions will be recognized by the courts for the deception that it is. Now, this is a very interesting editorial, because I think the guy's right. I think he's absolutely right. Trying to punish a business with laws, by zoning or otherwise legal machination, is unconstitutional. It's un-American. The man has an opinion. Mr. Cathy has an opinion. You may agree, you may not. If you don't agree, you don't have any right to pass a law to say you don't have the right kind of opinion, the owner of your company, so your company can't locate here. So that is wrong. But then, it's also wrong to legislate against people who hold opposing views.
Well, nobody's going to do that.
Really? Well, there's laws against gay people being married.
No, but that what do you mean opposing view?
If a guy's gay and he feels like he has the right to be married and it's legally prescribed from doing that, don't you think a law has been passed to keep that guy from having the same rights as everybody else? Don't you think that's un-American? That's un-American, too. I don't support what this jackass wants to do in Chicago any more than the man who wrote the article does. I don't support some guy saying, hey, your views on gay rights are not cool. You don't support gay people. You don't support the right to marriage. So I'm going to keep your Chick-fil-A restaurant out of here. That sucks. But it also equally sucks to say, hey, you're gay. You don't get to be married. Isn't that denying somebody their rights? Isn't that denying somebody a constitutional right?
Yeah, they haven't figured out constitutionally yet.
Well, you may say that they haven't figured out it's constitutional yet, but in state after state after state, that's exactly what they're doing. So anyway, I ain't gonna be opposed to what this cat says. He's right, man, and it's a really stupid thing to do, you clown. To say, just because that guy at Chick-fil-A has got his head up his ass, hey, look, you know, you heard what Ted Bell said. Ted's one of these guys that is simply trying to get more business for his steakhouse by saying, hey, we support gay people and we love gay people. They can come in and have a steak on me. I wonder what kind of business he did.
Well, call him up, man. Bet you'd give away a lot of steak dinners.
Probably. But I don't know whether Ted's motives were all that pure. I think he just wanted to get a lot of play for his steakhouse. That he went even further. He said, not only am I supporting gay rights, not only am I giving away free steak dinners to gay people, but Chick-fil-A tastes like tastes like somebody's sock. Yeah, I mean, he was going on to say it tastes like lepers prepare it. I mean, real bad stuff. So that's not exactly...
Yeah, but that's just a personal opinion. He didn't say that they do.
Well, dude, you know, it's a very short leap from lepers prepare it to, it tastes like they do. All right, we'll be back A glance at a trial of feminist anti-Putin rockers. This just looks like a really interesting article that I'm going to read to you guys. When we come back here on the world, feminist anti-Putin rockers. Maybe it's got nothing to do with Russia. Maybe it's some other kind of Putin. We'll be right back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry.
That, you know, we're looking at those front pages of the New York Times, we'll get to the Putin rocker thing, but there was one there. We just went to September the 2nd of 1972, because I wanted to go to these Olympic years that I have a vivid memory. 72 is obviously the Munich Olympics. It was terrible. But I was working in construction at the time in September of 1972. I didn't get into radio until May of 73. So it would be, wow, really?
Yeah, you're only a few months away.
God, man, I went from being a construction laborer to a disc jockey within 8 months. Anyway, and we were out doing a job. I'll never forget this place because it's also a place where some guy I knew, one of the guys, cut his leg up with a freaking skill saw, the idiot.
You kidding me?
No, this guy was stupid. He was sawing a 2x4, and it bounced off his leg, and I remember saying, hey, Howard... That was his name, and he looked down. It had split this guy's thigh open, this skill saw, because he was being stupid with the skill saw. And he's lucky he didn't die, man, because that could have gotten an artery or something. Another thing that happened on this job was kind of interesting, a little piece of Americana. That day, and really there was a whole week where Bobby Fischer was playing Boris Spassky in chess. It's the one and only time, I think, ever, maybe, in American history where a cement truck driver would pull up and update guys that are building a house on the, you know, on a chess match, because that's what was happening. Every guy that pulled in with cement, we go,
yeah, you don't expect a guy like that.
No, you would not expect a guy driving a truck full of mud to be following the chess match, but that was how big it was. It was a huge event, man. It was Cold War stuff. And for young people today, people who are not around really to know what the Cold War was about, which was the Soviet Union, the communist system versus America and the system of freedom and capitalism and all that jazz, it was like everything was big. Every time we went up against those guys for any reason, basketball, the Canadians versus the, oh my God, that Team Canada thing?
What was that?
That was when the Canadians went up against the Russians in hockey. That was just bloody. It was bloody. I mean, it was downright, I don't know how to put it, it was dirty, man. The Canadians admit they played dirty, because what happened was they played 8 games. They played 4 in Canada, and they played 4 in Russia. They played 4 games across Canada, and the 4 they played in Russia, they played all of them in Moscow. The Canadians played horrible here, I should say here, in Canada. I think when they left to go to Russia, it was 2 wins for the Russians, 1 win for the Canadians, and there was 1 tie. And they were pissed, and they were taking all kinds of crap from everybody across Canada, because this is Canada's national sport, right?
Yeah, what about America and everything?
Well, America, we were following it too, because so many of these guys were professional players. Bobby Clark was with the Philadelphia Flyers. All kinds of guys. Phil Esposito played with Chicago. So these were all players that we knew, and they played the NHL. Now what happens is the Canadian players are humiliated and they're pissed off because they said, and even Bobby Esposito went on TV. He said, look, we're doing, he addressed the Canadian public and, you know, by extension, the North American public. He said, we're doing the best we can. You don't understand. These guys are good. See, what happened was, the Canadians thought, we're going to go in there, we're going to kick their, this is going to be ugly. You better hide the children and get the women and the daughters, because it's bad. It's going to be bad. We're going to, there'll be blood. You won't believe, this will be over fast. Well, the Russians came out there with their speed and skill game, which, frankly, the NHL hadn't seen. So there was only one thing they could do. They played NHL hockey, which meant take the game off of the ice and put it up against the boards. That meant every time you got the force the puck up against the boards and make the Russians come and fight for it. And it worked. But the Canadians would tell you, we weren't even in shape, man. We were like, it was unbelievable. These guys are skating and stick handling and moving and grooving and all this stuff, and we weren't even in shape. I mean, we were out of freaking breath, man. Some of us were smokers, you know. I mean, this was the kind of a North American game. So what they did is they pushed the game up against the boards, and they started getting physical. And the Russians didn't know how to play that game. And the cats like Esposito and other players, the physical players, I don't know if Esposito was a physical player. I don't know that much about him, but... there were some guys getting their asses beat. The Russians were getting beat up pretty good. The Russian coach was going to pull them off the ice, and the referee said, well, you can do that, but you're going to forfeit the game. He says, well, what are they doing? He says, they're playing. There's nothing that they're doing that's against the rules. You understand it's very physical, but, you know, you got to hit a man when he's facing you, and you can't use the elbow, and everything the Canadians were doing was very much within the rules, but it was very, very physical. All right. So the Russians had no choice but to turn around and do the same thing. And by the time the games got to Russia, it was very, very funny, the Russians had begun to play this, you know, physical game. They turned around and squared off. They dropped the gloves. They started swinging. It just so happens, just as an aside, the Canadians went over there with 400 cases of beer. I'm telling you the truth. This is a true story.
Yeah, you told me about it. They got it stolen?
Yes. They went over with 400 cases of beer, and they got 300 cases stolen. And they were even very vocal about it. They were on TV saying, hey, we came over here.
No, they didn't.
I swear to God, they did. They said, we came over here with 400 cases. I forget what it was. Yeah, 400 cases of beer. We have 400. Could it be that much?
That's a lot of beer.
I think it was. They said, we came over with 400 cases of beer, and 300 are gone, man. And we want to know where our beer went. Because they couldn't get anything in Russia, and they knew they wouldn't be able to get anything in Russia. So they came over with a lot of stuff. They also came over with the wives. The Russians said, no, wait a minute. You can't come over with the wives. And the Canadians said, bull crap, you said we could. You said we could bring wives. So,
what do they want to do that for?
Well, that's a good question. You know, why they're fighting for, well, anyway, no offense to the wives or anything, but why would guys, anyway.
Yeah, that's a perfect chick. Well, they were going to Russia.
Well, there's your answer, yeah. Anyway, that's a bad thing to say. Now, they go to Russia. They're down 2-1 to one tie, and they wound up, I believe, winning the next four. I mean, they kicked ass. The Canadians kicked ass once they got over there. And they said, you know what, we didn't care. We dialed the crowd out, and we knew that we were being followed, and we knew that they were tapping our phones, and we knew all that stuff. And again, it was kind of funny to us. We had our, you know, we really had our focus on, and we just went down onto the, and we just, you know, played our game. But here's the thing. Bobby Clark knocked out their best scorer with a blatant, illegal, he admits to it to this day. It was a hacking penalty. He got penalized, but basically what he did is he busted the guy's ankle.
What was this? He hit a guy with a stick?
He hit a guy. He hit with the Russian's number one scorer. I forget the guy's name. Clark was chasing him down. This guy was on his way to a winning goal, which I think might have been the difference in maybe the pivotal. I don't think they won the next four. Whatever they did is they won it by a game, so... This guy is on a breakaway, and Clark skated up right behind him with a stick and just basically slashed this guy's ankle, busting it, knocked him out.
Well, that's a woman.
Yeah, that guy was gone. He was out. And to this day, the Russian players that were there said, that's what did it. You know, he did it. He knocked our guy out. And it was illegal, but, you know, and Clark even has been interviewed, and I think he said something along the lines of, well, you know, it's things happen, but it was, he's pretty much as much admitted it, you know. But I got to hand it to the Canadians from this. No way were they going to lose. No way were they going to lose.
Yeah, it's the national sport of Canada, that and curling.
That and curling.
Yeah.
Well, there was just no way they were going to lose, and there was no... After they got humiliated in front of their own fans here, losing two of the four games, They went over there, and I think they said, in later interviews, we can't let them beat us. We can't let them. Whatever we got to do, we're going to have to do. And that means if we got to kill somebody, you know. So it was pretty interesting, man. But that's Cold War. That was the Cold War sports. That's why back then the Olympics were cool, because it was like, man, it was some serious stuff. People were just like when the U.S. beat.
What about the time in hockey?
Yeah, when the USA beat Russia in hockey. All right. Now let's go to the modern day, and here we have this anti-Putin rocker thing. Three female feminist rockers rejected charges of hooliganism. This is an actual crime, folks.
What is it?
Hooliganism is something that they only know in countries that play soccer. It's just hooligan when you hooligan.
Yeah, but what is that, like beat somebody up?
Kinda. It's sloppy, violent social behavior, wearing a leather jacket. I don't know. Anyway, three Russian feminist rockers rejected... What do you mean, feminist rockers? Rejected charges of hooliganism for performing a punk prayer in Moscow's main cathedral against Vladimir Putin's return as president. As a trial against them opened in earnest on Monday, the charges could carry a punishment up to 7 years in prison. Oh, look at this, man!
Well, man, that's like communism.
Yeah. The three members of the Pussy Riot Band. That's the name of the band. I'd pronounce their last names, but I can't. Samutsevic, Alekina, Tolokonikova, Alekina, and Samutsevic have been in custody for 5 months since their February stunt. So they did a punk prayer in Moscow's cathedral, and they've been in jail for 5 months. Now, you know, you can go to jail for doing stuff in churches here in America, but man, you 5 months? Their prosecution has caused a sharp public divide and draws protests from rights groups who've declared them prisoners of conscience. The trial began on July 20th, but the first sessions were devoted to procedural issues. On Monday, with the court turning to the substance of the case, Tolokonikova and other defendants said in statements read by their lawyer that their goal was to express their resentment over Russian Orthodox Church Patriarch Kirill's support for Putin's rule. Aha!
Kind of like when the ACT UP people went on the church on account of the gays.
Yeah, kind of. It's like when ACT UP went into the churches. Yeah, I don't know. To me, churches are like, they should be really, well, sacred, you know.
What do you mean?
Well, I mean, you know, you don't spray paint swastikas on synagogues, and you just don't go into somebody's church, man. There's got to be a better way of protesting someone's, the religious institution's political acts than going in and messing with the actual, I don't know, rituals of the church. But, because to me, that says you disagree with the actual... They pled not guilty to the official charges of hooliganism driven by religious hatred. That's not religious hatred. They're talking about the hierarchy, the political structure. Tolokonikova said she felt sorry if some of the believers felt insulted by their act, but that they didn't mean to offend anyone. It wasn't clear how long the trial might last, but a court has recently ruled that the women should be kept in custody for another half year. Wow, man, you can go to jail legally for a year and not even be found guilty in Russia if you are a hooligan in a church.
Woo! I didn't know what being a hooligan in a church is.
What they just did, man. They did a prayer against the president. Yeah, it sounds pretty Stalininiska to me, man. They did a prayer against Putin in a church. That's being a hooligan. And you can go to jail for a year?
Woo! They ain't been found guilty yet.
No, they're not guilty yet, man. They're just being... unless, of course, you're a gangbanger and you can be held for... Anyway, we'll be right back. World famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-7444. What is it? 877-876-7445. Yeah, that's our number, although we're not taking calls.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil the Henry Show.
Romney do, man? Did Romney do something else? Romney stirs new controversy. Comments on Israel bring Palestinian outrage on Mideast visit. It wasn't supposed to be this way. This is Casey Hunt writing for ABCnews.go. ABC News, a notoriously left-wing... I don't know, man. That if you listen to Bill O'Reilly, though...
What do you listen to Bill O'Reilly for?
I don't listen to Bill O'Reilly, but it seems like every time I turn that guy on, he's bitching about ABC.
They fired him, didn't they?
Who?
ABC.
No, he worked for some other... I think he worked for NBC. I don't know who he worked for. It wasn't supposed to be this way. Mitt Romney outraged Palestinians on Monday, telling Jewish donors that their culture is part of what has allowed them to be more economically successful than the Palestinians. That fresh controversy on his visit to Israel came just days after insulting the British in what was intended as a feel-good visit to the Olympics in London. Whether or not the trip changes votes back home, the effect hasn't seemed to be what Romney's presidential campaign had in mind. His first steps onto the world stage as President Barack Obama's Republican challenger were carefully crafted to avoid political risk. Maybe they were, but there was one thing they didn't craft, and that was the guy himself. They should have crafted a gag for the guy.
Yeah, they should have crafted a ball gag.
All right, man, shut up.
No. Ow.
There, yeah, I endorse that. That good, Robert.
Hey. That hurt.
Yeah, well, you're over there going,
Why does he get to hit me?
Because you made your point, and then you're going, shut up, bud.
You didn't think it was funny?
No, I didn't think it was funny. Romney's latest trouble stemmed from a speech.
Bam.
Get out of here, man.
Ow.
Yeah. Stemmed from a speech he gave to Jewish donors in which he suggested that their culture was part of what has allowed them to be more economically successful than Palestinians. Kind words for Israel are standard for many American politicians, but Palestinian leaders suggested his specific comments were racist and out of touch with the reality of the Middle East. Because it's billed as a layup, it's billed as something that should be simple, perhaps he let his guard down, said Hogan Gidley, a senior aide under former Republican presidential candidate Rick Santorum. You say, gosh, this guy is so scripted, the campaign is so disciplined, so smart, how could this happen? Still, he doubted that Romney would suffer any long-term effects among voters who are still undecided 3 months before the election.
I don't get it.
Well, when you say their culture... Yeah, some people are going to think that's racist because they think that that means Jewish people have just, you know, a superior culture than the Palestinians because they were able to create a superior culture and the Palestinians weren't. I think, you know, we have gotten to a point now where, you know, every comment can be perceived as a comment that leads to another comment that leads to another comment. And the next thing you know, you got a racist. You know, if you think that, then you must think. If you say that the, for instance, if you say the Israeli people coming from the Israeli people, descendants of people who survived the Holocaust in Europe, have a sense of life's, shall we say, have a sense of how fragile and tenuous life is, and therefore apply themselves in a way that, you know, brings a lot of results because they're very tenacious. That's cool because you're not comparing, you're not saying, and Palestinians don't do that. You say, well, Palestinians do the same thing, you know, coming from a different sort of reality.
Yeah, they don't come from the Holocaust, though.
Palestinians come from deprivation. They come from their own reality of hardship, man. Where he makes the mistake is when he says the Israelis' culture is why they succeed, and I believe he said, didn't he contrast them? He contrasted them with the Palestinians, meaning the Israelis do this, 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 and this, and the Palestinians don't. Now, that's the mistake. That's the mistake he made. Should have kept his mouth shut about the Palestinians.
Yeah, that's chicken stuff, though, man. I mean, you gotta stand there and...
Well, look, man, you can call it chicken stuff, but here's the thing. And all I'm gonna say is, the cat said it, I understand where he's coming from. If it was me, I would have told. If I was his manager, campaign manager, I would have said, "Hey, you know, Governor, leave the stuff out about the Palestinians. You can say what you want about the Israelis; it's fine. Just don't contrast them with the Palestinians because it's going to be perceived as a negative." He didn't do it. Okay, fine, great. What are you going to tell the guy? You're not fair if you don't vote for him. People are going to vote for who they vote for because of things that they believe. And if this guy pisses somebody off with a comment like that, what are you going to do? Blame him. Can't blame anybody else.
I'm going to vote for him, and I don't care.
Good. Vote for him. You know?
You ain't going to vote for him.
So far, the guy's not knocking it out of the park with me. So far, he's making a lot of I don't like. I haven't liked Romney since this whole... Since he's been doing these dances with some of these social issues that I favor. Anyway, so that's Romney. Predictably, Obama's campaign was more critical, with senior strategist David Axelrod saying on Twitter, "Is there anything about Romney's rolling ruckus that would inspire confidence in his ability to lead U.S. foreign policy?" It's unclear whether voters in the U.S. are paying attention to Romney's stumbles, especially as concerns about the nation's economy dominate most Americans' concerns. That's a good point. Romney's rolling ruckus. That may not... So they're saying that this stuff's probably not going to have any traction here in the United States. I'd say it has the same impact as a stub toe, said John Steneman, a marketing consultant in Des Moines. All right.
Ain't Des Moines in Iowa?
Yeah, and it's Des Moines. It ain't Des Moines.
You said Des Moines.
I was making a joke, man. Jeez. All right, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget online at philhenryshow.com with a backstage pass. You can see live video of our show every night. Episode number 24 is in the can, baby, or as they say over at Jimmy Pardo's Never Not Funny podcast, it has dropped, Jack. So make sure you go and get a hold of our podcast, episode 24. All right? All right. Anyway, our show is produced by Dan Northcraft. And, of course, yours truly, Phil Henry. We'll see you guys coming up later on tonight. Until then, let that be a lesson to you.
Phil Henry Show is produced by Dan Northcraft. Well, he already said.
Phil Henry.